Thank you for joining me on this episode of Uncovering the Bay and Basin. True tales from the shores of Jervis Bay and St. George's Basin, exploring the lives, legends and landscapes that have shaped this remarkable part of the New South Wales South Coast. On this episode, we look back at an industry that once defined the rhythm of life on the coast and how it vanished almost as quickly as it began. This is Whalers of Jervis Bay, Boom, Bust and Legacy. Whaling in Jervis Bay dates back to the 1830s, with a shore-based whaling station established by William Kinghorn near Cabbage Tree Point. The station was operational by 1841, and crews would wait for migrating humpbacks and southern right whales launching small boats from the beach with little more than harpoons and hard labour. The bay's all-weather shelter and anchorage made it a suitable location for whalers, and as the industry grew, it became a valuable site for extending whaling operations into the Pacific. At its height, whaling brought jobs, ships, and international trade. Blubber was boiled down in massive iron cauldrons called tripods. Its oil used for lamps, soaps, and machinery. It was dangerous work, as harpoon whales towed boats for hours before dying. Later in 1912, a Norwegian whaling fleet led by the whaling factory ship the Loch Tay steamed into Jervis Bay, accompanied by three whale catchers. This was industrial whaling not seen before in the area. Within two seasons, over 500 whales were processed, causing mass pollution and significant economic and social impacts on the local community. The fleet was manned by a crew of 130, and the shores were strewn with large pieces of blubber and intestines. Northeasterly winds blew the smell of rotting and cooked carcasses into the Jervis Bay township, and oyster beds were ruined. Initially, the local community protested, with a Nowra doctor telling newspapers,
"They're of no earthly use to us. We'll buy as little as possible from us, import everything from Norway, pay low wages, and deplete our whaling industry."
The whaling activity, particularly the smell of rotting whale carcasses, caused issues for the Royal Australian Naval College and Huskisson Township, ultimately leading to the decline of whaling in the bay. By 1914, the Australian Whaling Company Norway had moved to Western Australia. By 1917, the industry lost government approval and was no longer economically viable. Commercial whaling in Australia ended in 1978. With the closure of the last whaling station in Western Australia, and Australia adopted an anti-whaling policy in 1979, permanently ending whaling in Australian waters. Since those days, there has been a huge cultural shift, and Jervis Bay is now a haven for whale watching, and this has become an important part of the tourism economy for the Shoalhaven and the South Coast. Thanks for joining me on this episode of Uncovering the Bay and Basin. Until next time, may the tides carry our stories forward. I'm Stephen Brown. This program was researched and written by Wendy Hamlin and produced in the studios of 927 Bay and Basin FM. For more Uncovering the Bay and Basin episodes, see the podcast page on the 927fm.com.au website.